kind of like fall apple weather. That's what it seems like to me.
It's the first day of spring.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh. Well, it seems like fall to me. Is that okay? Michael Goudeau correcting, fact-checking every single thing I say. I say it's fall when it's the middle of March.
First day of spring.
Is it the first day of spring?
It is the first day of spring.
I thought spring was like April.
No. One of March starts today.
Oh, cool.
So it's already started in New York. It's not quite spring here yet.
It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon starts to spring?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to spring, New York. We're here in Las Vegas on Free FM, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. 866-313-FREE, 3733. Also, penradio@gmail.com. That's PENNRADIO @gmail.com. I don't have a lot of stuff to get to today, so I will take calls. I'll take calls. Not a lot of stuff. The major things that we'll be talking about, if you want to call in on this, are the Lennon Seance.
Sure.
Some dips are doing Lennon's. That's half a word. Are doing a Lennon Seance in April sometime. Pay per view.
Yeah.
These are the same shysters that did
That's a technical term.
Same shysters. The same dips. Hit
yeah.
that did that. They did the Lady Di seance, right?
Yes, they did.
$14.95 for the Lady Di seance pay per view, and they got 1.5 million people to sign up for that.
This says half a million.
What's that?
This article says half a million.
The one I saw said 1.5.
That's a little different, don't you think?
Yeah, big difference. It's like Scientology. It's like
$17 million.
The Scientology thing is still in the news.
Isn't that great?
The Scientology, as a matter of fact, there's a news article today that Muslim publicists are unhappy that the flap between South Park and Scientology has diverted international attention from their cause, saying, chill out, America, it's just a cartoon. All this talk about...
Ayatollah sent that to you directly, didn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah. Give me a little call, drop me an email. It's just a cartoon, calm down. I've been writing emails to Matt, mostly Matt. Trey doesn't answer. They heard the show on Friday, and they were
suing us.
They were very embarrassed by all my complimentary ranting about South Park.
Butt kissing.
They did think it was all accurate. They were just a little embarrassed by it. It's amazing. They said they wrote that little press release, giggling their asses off one night. And now it's this huge... I mean, I go to Google News, all the time. I go to Google News like every couple hours, check the news stories. I think since Friday, the South Park Scientology flap has been there every single time I've checked in one of the top stories. Boom, top story. War in Iraq rages on for 3 years. Oh, but more important than that, chef quit South Park. And, there's this new... by the way, hail Xenu.
Hail
all
Xenu,
of you, hail
yes.
Xenu. Let's try to keep the theme
strapped. Good morning, Xenu.
Good morning, Xenu. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Teller. And good morning, Xenu.
We had several people have asked me if on the South Park thing, would they say they actually believe this about Xenu sending the souls into the volcanoes to watch movies about Jesus Christ for 35 years, and then humans evolving from clams. That should be L. Ron Hubbard did acid. This is like the Church of Donovan. I mean, that's what Scientology is, It's just, and he also had, in his autopsy, L. Ron Hubbard had, shrink drugs, in his system, psychological,
really?
Psychiatrist drugs. Yeah. The stuff they don't do. And also, L. Ron Hubbard, I mean, no wonder there's all this tension because L. Ron Hubbard really disliked homosexuals. It's a really anti-gay religion. But the goofy thing about it is they claim 10 million people worldwide. And the real numbers, the Rolling Stone article, which is really very good. Did you read the Rolling Stone?
No, I did not. I didn't.
The Rolling Stone Scientology article, goodbye friendship from the Rolling Stone to John Travolta and Tom Cruise. It's very carefully written. It's a little too carefully written for me because, I enjoy going off half-cocked. I really do. And the Rolling Stone article kind of does it. It weighs everything. It's not just like screaming, you idiots, you're evil, which is what I would think if Penn Jillette wrote a Scientology article in Rolling Stone. That's what it would be.
It would have been a lot shorter.
A lot shorter. Hail Xenu, you're idiots. Penn Jillette. But this is like, big article and very, very smart, written by smart journalists. And she's very measured, and she says 100,000 to maybe 200,000 worldwide practitioners, serious practitioners of Scientology.
100,000 of which are in Hollywood.
Exactly. You know, actually, probably 1,000 of them were eaten by Kirstie Alley. But there's nobody involved in this. And that's the thing. They're talking about how powerful, you know, how gutsy it is for Matt and Trey. And I'll never say anything against Matt and Trey. But talking about how gutsy it is for them to go up against Scientology. And yet, they must have more viewers in one city of South Park than they have worldwide Scientologists. It's insane. It's just insane. And but Matt and Trey continue to go on saying great stuff. And the great website, if you are interested in a clam bake attacking Scientology, you can go to xenu.net, which is xenu.net. And it's so much better than listening to me talk about this, because they know so much more and have it all together. And it's very, very funny. You know, the thing is, we really get to enjoy Scientology's goofiness, because it's not a religion that we've been hearing about since birth.
Yeah.
So, like the virgin birth thing and the, oh, by the way, somebody, your sins now, someone died for 2,000 years ago, and, you know, Moses was 700 years old and a part of the Red Sea and walking on water. And all that goofiness is such a part of our culture. You know, every Christmas you see, you know, virgin birth talked about on TV as though it was like a normal thing. You know, I mean, virgin birth is a normal thing with lizards. Right? Lizards.
A lot of bugs.
Yeah, you know, a lot of bugs.
A lot of bugs.
But lizards are haploid,
sure.
Right? Lizards, they're a haploid lizard.
Lizards are laploid.
Lizards are laploid.
Had a laploid dance once.
But the haploid qualities of Jesus Christ, we kind of forget about the goofiness of that. You know, it's hard to just, there's so much of it all the time, it's hard to remember to laugh in their faces. I do. I tie a little string around my finger. Reminding me to laugh in the face of all who are religious. But the Scientologist stuff is so new that we're not used to it. So we can just kind of hits us in all this beautiful psychedelic glory.
Everybody says, clams?
Yeah. Also watching movies in a volcano. You know, that's what they were doing. Nuclear bombs were set off, and they all had to watch movies in a volcano. And the weird thing is, they don't give you the information till the end. You know, Christianity, they lead. They lead right away with, oh, virgin birth, boom, died for your sins. But Scientology goes, it's just a way of living, personality test, and now you do a little bit better. Treat these people this way, it's science, and another $10,000, good, and here you do, here's how you run your life, and this is good. Treat people this way, you want to be a little bit more clear, get rid of the engrams, you get a little bit lie detector. Lived in a volcano! There are nuclear bombs watching movies descended directly from clams! And at that point, you are what's called in poker pot committed. You've now spent $150,000, and they tell you, here's the clam thing. And you kind of go, you've lost all your friends. You know, they eliminate all your friends. They eliminate your family. They've got control of everything. They know everything embarrassing about you. And then they hit you with the clam thing. So if you're considering, and I guess no one's considering Scientology now. It's a dying religion, which is why it's so much fun to attack, because kicking people when they're down is really the most fun, because they so rarely hurt you back, you know. And Scientology's really the best of all worlds, because it's a dying religion, like all of them. They're all dying religions. But it's dying very, very quickly. And yet, the people at the top of it are very, very powerful. So you can look like you're attacking Tom Cruise, and you're actually kicking around some people who own stores in Clearwater, Florida. It's perfect. And also, have you ever noticed that there are no Scientologists in New York City? You know, there are really no Scientologists in the United States of America. They are all in L.A. and in these weird little cities in Florida. But as far as, like, you know, you don't know people who are Scientologists. If you live in the United States, I mean, I know one person.
We know one.
In Vegas who's a Scientologist. But she's essentially L.A. You know, she's a bubblehead. She doesn't have the brains God gave a goose, you know. And it's kind of sad, because she's funny and she's sweet and she's nice, but she's pot committed. She gives a huge amount amount of money to Scientology, and now she has to believe it. And you ask her questions about it, you know. What about the clams?
Sure.
And she just goes, that's my religion. You know, just, we'll never
you
engage.
Must respect it.
But there's a Lenin seance. They're going to do a seance.
April 24th.
Well, yeah. I don't even want to. I wasn't even going to give
I
that
I was lying.
Much.
It was April 20th zaps. 2020 boo.
And they're going to try to get, and then nothing with the Lenin estate, nothing is going to, nothing is authorized.
Nothing
they didn't
is
clear this with anybody.
They didn't talk to Yoko.
No.
Writing to Yoko now and contacting friends to see if any of them want to take part. Now.
Well, you know, Yoko, who I love, I'm one of the people that think that John Lennon got better after he met Yoko. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big Yoko fan. I think if I have a choice between Yoko and Paul McCartney, I go with Yoko in a second.
Okay.
So, but
her
Yoko,
grammar's good.
Yoko is a bit of a nut. Clearly a nut. She's astrology and all this stuff. So she might believe some of this stuff. But what kills me is the Lenin seance people are saying that they're not worried about public scorn and being in bad taste. All they're worried about is that they'll get George Harrison accidentally. And he'll come back with one of his lousy songs. And they're going to, and this part you read to me. I
didn't
even
yes.
know this.
They're taping part of it in India.
Okay, good.
At a spiritual reader at an ashram who believes he can contact Lenin to receive musical notes and lyrics from the other side.
Uh-huh.
Any notations will be flown to Los Angeles where a composer.
Now, this is the. Let's stop right in here. Flown? Why are they flying them?
There's no.
They're on TV.
In
they're on TV. Can't they just point the camera at it? I mean, what? They don't understand. Okay, they're going to fly them, so they're going to put them by courier.
Courier, yeah. Someone's going to get a cheap flight out of the deal.
Yeah. From India,
they're going to fly them to Los Angeles, where a composer will arrange the notes, add vocals and backgrounds to produce a new song.
Here's what I love: not arrange the song. See,
no.
Those are two different things.
Notes.
Arrange the notes. So they're going to send what I imagine just a regular
treble
scale.
Clef.
Treble clef. And they're going to send, like, you know, it'll all be on that. Maybe it'll be the Dorian mode, so it'll be Norwegian
sure.
wood or something. And they'll send it, they'll put it in order, and then they'll end up with Free as a Bird, which sucked. You know, the last thing we got from John Lennon was pure, utter suckdom. Pure, sucky, free as a bird, suckdom, suck, 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 suck. And they're going to do the seance, and people will
isn't arranging the notes just writing the song?
Arranging the notes, of course, is just writing the song. They'll send them by Hemiquaver.
So how's Lennon... Is Lennon's estate going to get money for this? They're not involved. If they're claiming that Lennon wrote it, they can't sell it unless they get the rights from him.
It's oh, boy, the best legal minds of our time.
I am on this. I'll take care of this case.
I just don't understand. You know, the people love John Lennon so much, and I'm one of them. You know, I was out of my mind when John Lennon was shot. I mean, I went. It was a very strong emotional reaction. I mean, I was crying. I fell to pieces. I was a big Beatles fan. I was a big John Lennon fan, and it really hit me hard. As a matter of fact, I'd had such a sheltered and fortunate life. It was really I hadn't had a death at that time. In my family or any close friends who died. So it really just it hit me with this kind of mortality thing. It was just horrible. And I have hours and hours of the lost Lennon tapes and all that stuff. I have all the bootlegs. You know, I'm just desperate for anything more from John Lennon. And it really does break my heart that some people with the same kind of love and desperation that I have will be sucked into this. It's a sad thing. We got any phone calls?
Sure we do.
I want to take one? Let's play Godot Roulette.
I think we should talk to Ralph on line 5.
Hey, Ralph, what's up, man?
Hey, not much, Ben. Hey, Gro.
Hey.
I had a girlfriend back in 95, 96 who was down in Clearwater.
Uh-huh.
And she picked me up in Tampa at the airport. And when we were driving back through the town, it's like going into a science fiction movie because everyone is dressed identical there.
Do they really?
Walking, they all had blue, the men all had these blue outfits on. The women all had these blue little skirts and blue little, like, dicky sort of coats on.
Oh, tell it slow.
And it's the most bizarre, creepy experience I've ever had.
And did you run down the streets yelling, Soylent Green is people?
It's pretty much like that. It's very. And what's scary is there's like a little like drive-through restaurant there, and they were all going to it. And I'm like, do I even risk going to this place or no?
was your girlfriend a clam? Was she
no,
a Scientologist?
She wasn't. And I'm like, well, I really don't like being here. So
what was she doing in Clearwater?
Excuse me?
What was she doing in Clearwater?
That's where she lived. She lived.
I mean, but how did she end up living there?
She actually moved down there with her grandmother.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So her grandmother thought it was a retirement community, and actually it was Logan's Run.
Yeah, it's like, and there was like the southern part of Clearwater was like starting to get closer to normal reality, but still, it was just, it's not a good place to be.
Did you read the Rolling Stone article?
There was the thing with the girl who died.
Yeah,
in the hotel.
The dehydration thing.
Yeah, so it was very creepy.
Did you read the Rolling Stone thing?
No, not yet.
Well, they'll tell you a lot about Clearwater, bro.
Oh, yeah. I've been on to Xenu.net plenty of times. And
it's just really nuts. Well, yeah, I don't think I've ever been to Clearwater. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot, boss. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been there. But the other thing you wanted to say about Scientology is on our penradio@gmail.com, we got a bunch of phishing going on, people telling us that our Amazon accounts and our PayPal accounts needed to have their information filled in.
That's right.
And I think everybody knows that that's called phishing with a PH. And what they're doing is they're using what's called now social engineering, which is now a term that's been taken from what the government does and put to what people do to look through people's trash and also to convince people to give them passwords and stuff. And Godot's idea was when you are given these fish things that you just kind of throw away, instead go and give them information. Just give them all wrong information. And make sure you throw in Hail Xenu. Hail Xenu. I want to read another news thing. The FDA released a brief report today announcing that every single thing we do or eat has risks as well as rewards, and that from here on out, we're on our own. The FDA then disbanded and returned its funds to taxpayers. Oh, no, wait, that's not a news thing. That was a dream I had, a beautiful, sad dream. That was the dream, that the FDA had disbanded. Anything really with F as the first letter. Very, very, very bad. If you have an initialate with the first letter F, FCC, FDA, FBI, not good. And you notice I use the term initialate, which is not what scuba is. If you pronounce it, it's a, what's it called?
Geez, I don't know. You caught me off guard
there. I
just
blanked on that. But it's an initial if you say the initials there. But the FCC has just ruled that Oprah's wide open sex tape, you know, and we heard that, man.
Yeah.
Where she's talking
and
laughing her ass off.
Dancing around
talking
like a
about
pixie.
This stuff. And there was, you know, a lot of radio fans who thought this was unfair, sending a lot of complaints to the FCC, so they had to look into it, you know. And that seemed like a really cool thing. Like, if we'd have thought of that, if we were smart enough to think of telling people to send in complaints on Oprah, we would have been pretty proud of ourselves. And then the FCC just went, oh, no, that's Oprah. I mean, it's just horrible. And I really wish if Oprah seems, and I mean, that's her job. Seeming like a nice person is Oprah's job. She doesn't have a job beyond that, really, right? She just seems like a nice person. If she did have moral integrity, wouldn't Oprah come out in favor of free speech? Wouldn't she say, yeah, I'm able to say this, but other people should too? Wouldn't she?
Well, you would think.
I would think so, you know. And she's got, you know, I'm always afraid of this, but she's got a lot of money. I'm always afraid of saying people have enough money because we don't know what enough money is, but seems like she has a lot. We're going to take a break. 866-313-3733. I guess we're talking more about the Lennon Seance, FCC, Oprah. And I want to talk a little bit about space tourism
and
Joan Crock. And acronyms. How did I blank on the word acronym? But these aren't. These are initials. We'll be back after this. Hey, this is Ben Gillette correcting mistakes with Michael Godot. We said there were no Scientologists in New York, and the second I said that, of course, we knew it was wrong because you go in the subways there, they're the personality tests in the Big Temple, and someone wrote in that
the Big Temple's off Broadway, along with all the other fictional stories.
Someone wrote that in, so of course we're wrong about that, but really, the thing about Scientology is there really are so few of them, and they're really not doing well. So, you know, it's the fact that you have Tom Cruise, and And the fact that, you know, an actor believes in something is almost reason alone to not believe in it. 866-313-FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. That's PennRadio. We're talking about the John Lennon seance. I mean, you know, the thing is, that's the kind of thing that you don't want to give money to. And you don't want to see it, but you want to know what happened. So somebody, we'll pick somebody. Someone could write in, and I'll give you the $20, and you can watch the Lennon thing. And
it's only ten.
$10?
$10.
You could watch it. I'll pay for it, because I don't want anybody. And then you could call us up the next day and tell us about it. And we'll all promise, everybody listening to the show, that none of us will watch it except one of us. One of us will watch it. There'll be a delegate. And so write in your best story on why you should be the person to waste 3 hours of your life watching this. You're going to take notes and then interview you the next day. Or unless you're in Vegas. If someone's in Vegas, I'll bring them out to the house and we'll interview them about watching it. I'm not going to watch it. I'll give somebody $10. They can come in, have donuts with us. We'll sit them right there, put a microphone in the very seat where Gilbert Gottfried, Carrot Top, Adam Carolla, all those people sat, Randy. Sit right there, talk about it. Somebody in Vegas, write us a Gmail, penradio@gmail.com. And in April, we'll set aside a time. You can watch the Lennon thing, take notes, we'll talk to you about it. So send us the Gmail that shows you'd be a good reporter on this, and you'll get donuts and get to watch it free. Are we getting any calls you want to take, or should I do this John Lennon thing?
No, let's do the John Lennon thing first.
Okay. I was saying I was such a John Lennon fan, and Happy Jack, who is our producer, said to me, "Would you have any problems with John Lennon lyrics?"
Oh, no.
I said, yeah, a couple. And I'm not going to go into... I don't have anything as egregious as Frosty the Snowman or Donkashane or Shaft or Live and Let Die. But I do have a problem with not his writing in this case, because I think that I'm going to start sounding like someone who's obsessed with exact grammar, and I don't want to see it that way. So let's talk about diction now. I have, I think, 45 versions of Mr. Postman. By the Beatles. I have all the demos, and I have all the bootlegs. I have the live recordings, everything. John Lennon sings lead on Stop. Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. And I forget who did it originally. It's a girl group tune. Great tune. Probably Phil Spector was involved in producing or something. You know, and all that girl group. Well, the people, one of the things that was said about the Beatles to me that was so enlightening to me was that the Beatles were a girl group. I mean, all the harmonies, all the ideas. Now, George Martin made the harmonies more interesting, but essentially the sound and the happiness and the pop of the early stuff is all girl group stuff. And of course, George Harrison was a girl group freak, and then later when he wrote My Sweet Lord, he actually ripped off He's So Fine, and his buddy John Lennon and the Playboy interview did the funniest thing ever. It was right when George was being sued for taking the tune to He's So Fine, changing it to My Sweet Lord, and claiming he knew nothing about it. It was an accident. And they asked John Lennon about that in the Playboy interview, and John said, well, you know, nobody knows those girl groups like George. He knows them inside out. Thanks! Thanks, buddy! Thanks, Long John of the Silver Beatles. Thanks a lot. So they did Mr. Postman. And as you know, why don't you check it and see one more time for me? Then there's a break, and they go, deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better. That's the way it's done. Because in kind of like the cross, you know, putting little hearts over your eyes,
sure,
and those kind of circle type stuff, they would do a thing at the bottom of letters that would say, deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better. And John Lennon, who actually, being from a, you know, Liverpudlian slum, actually spoke fairly well in his songs, and mostly does a fake American accent, which makes him pretty easy to understand. But he clearly goes, deliver the letter, the sooner the better.
Right over his head.
Deliver the letter, the sooner the better. That's what he does. And I have, like I said, about 45 versions of this. And not one does he get the joke. And not one does he, you know, there's not one. And it kind of goes in that weird little syncopation thing, you know.
Sure.
Deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better. But John doesn't do that. Deliver the letter, the sooner the better. So that's just one of my little problems with John Lennon. I'm not going to go into the writing. He was a fabulous writer and probably one of the best vocalists in rock and roll. But I have some other stuff that troubles me. But I think that, you know, it's only an hour show. But right now, I'm very bothered. And I listen. I have 45 versions. I listened to all 45 versions, and then I listened again. Because I said, somewhere he must go, deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better.
On
a
lark.
No,
just on a lark.
He might have gotten the joke later on, but he never did.
Yeah, well, the Marvelettes got it. So they're the ones that did the first
one. The Marvelettes really sing, deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better. So the person that writes in, and I don't know who that's going to be, that we give them the $10, maybe they can call in to the seance, and they can say, John, please, do you understand the joke? Deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better. You know, it's like defense, defeat of deduct, go over defense before detail. You know, it's that thing. It's that, I guess, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's not unusual.
And your job.
My job is to know what you're talking about, and yet I have lost.
There's a joke, a grade school joke.
Well, that's the problem. I never went to grade school.
Where a kid is told to use deduct, defeat, detail, and defense in a sentence. And he says, defeat.
Seems a little contrived.
Yes, it does. It's like Johnny, well, can't do that.
Load the joke onto the truck, ladies and gentlemen.
No worse than who's on first.
I guess.
Who's on first, the most contrived, makes no sense at all. It's like that Johnny, well, I can't say it. There's no way to say the Johnny Blanker faster. I guess I could say Johnny Blanker faster joke. Which, when I first heard that in grade school, I just thought that was so contrived. It kind of broke my heart about comedy. Because I thought comedy just kind of sprung, you know, cleverly. But no, you have to say,
sit down and construct it.
Defense, deduct, what else? Detail, defeat. Okay, so the kid has to use that in a sentence, you know, that kind of thing. And then you can. But I just like thinking about a duck jumping over a fence.
Yeah, well,
that's the image. That's the image that that kills me. Space tourism. You've been there's a big
article. Have I been to space? Was that what you were about to ask me?
I have been weightless.
You've been
I've talked in detail, probably too much detail, about being naked and weightless and vomiting into my hair.
Someone wrote in that we should run the video.
Oh,
we should actually run the video and pretend someone has stolen it and run it, and then sue ourselves to get more press for it. That was their plan.
That's a good plan.
They're now our publicist.
I don't know, though. I don't think exactly that me naked in
the Barbarella strip naked, you don't think that's worth seeing?
Compared to like
a lot of people want to see that.
Compared to
we
Kid
get a
Rock,
lot of Gmails asking for that video.
Compared to Kid Rock having sex, you know? I mean, Kid Rock having sex, America wants to see. Penn Jillette nude vomiting into his hair? I think there's probably fewer people than want to see, want to join Scientology.
It only takes 500,000. Clearly the Princess Di thing ran with only 500,000.
Half a million people. And they make $7 million
each.
Clear.
Yeah.
I could do a pay-per-view of Penn weightless vomiting into his hair.
Barbarella, then you
could sue psychedela. Kind of like, that would be a good thing. I'll tell you, the astronauts that were with me and filming me and holding me and shooting me. They're tough guys. Astronauts are tough guys. And they saw
you naked and throwing up. That's pretty tough.
They were troubled. They were troubled by it. What bothered them, I think, was my willingness to get naked. I think that a lot of times astronauts and fighter pilots and stuff don't, like, get naked in front of other men easily and comfortably. Maybe it was Billy Gibbons. Maybe they didn't want me being naked in front of ZZ Top. But I'll tell you, I think I looked more accurate than Jane Fonda and Barbarella. I probably didn't look better, but I think I looked more accurate because I was actually weightless. So I have been weightless. But in the next few years, there's going to be, Rattan, what's his name?
Bert Rattan, yeah.
Bert Rattan. He lives right here in Nevada. I've had several, I was supposed to meet him a few times and never really have.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to do space tourism, and it would be $100,000. To go up to the bottom of space, right? Bottom of space.
Right.
And for about 2 hours. You'd be weightless for 2 hours, cavorting, having a blast.
Throwing up.
Throwing up into your hair. Kind of like, wasn't the kid from NSYNC? wanted to go up? But he ended up not having enough money or something?
I don't, it was $10 million, and I think he just didn't show up with the checkbook that day.
Yeah, okay. $10 million is a lot of money. But, you know, what we could do, Godot, is for $200,000, we could go up and do our hour-long show from space. How cool would that be?
Okay, I'm in now. You finally talked me into it. When it's not me writing the check, I am in.
Well, no, I was thinking it would be you writing the check.
Oh, I'll write the check from your account.
$100,000 is a lot of clams.
It's a lot of clams.
Anyway, we're talking about space tourism.
Virgin Galactic.
Yeah.
With Richard Branson. That seems great. Richard Branson and Burt Rutan working together.
Would you want to be naked with the...
Well, we worked with Richard Branson one time. And,
we did. He was a good guy.
He was a good guy.
I liked him a lot. Okay, we'll be back. There's the we're talking about the John Lennon Seance, the FCC Oprah. Always, of course, Hail Xenu, space tourism. I also want to talk about Joan Kroc giving a pantload of money to NPR and how they still don't give our money back. This is, what are we on? Free FM. Enjoy. Some people asking us about more Mike Jones music, you know, because all we play is the bumpers in and out. So I'm going to talk to Jonesy and see if we can get him to do some more music.
Okay.
We got a ton of stuff. Maybe we'll play some more jazz coming in and out of stuff. But the bass player on that's really good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. That's me playing bass, by the way, in case you don't know. Let's take a phone call, Godot. Pick anyone you want.
Okay, let's go to John on line 6.
Hey, John, what's up, man? This is Penn.
Hey, Penn. Hey, Mike. How you guys doing?
Never better, boss.
Good. You know, I kind of wanted to talk to you about three things today.
Okay.
First of all is your atheism versus religion.
Sure.
And let me say first that if you look at it logically, I think you'll see everything clearly.
Oh, no. You're cutting your own hair? Are you cutting your own hair?
I shave my head about every 2 or 3 days.
Good.
That's a lot like cutting your own hair.
You know where I'm coming from.
We know who we're talking to. So it's all clear to you now.
That's right. And it'll be clear to you.
Okay, lay it on us.
Well, you know, I cannot see a real big difference between atheism and Christianity. I mean, you say atheists are men of science.
Uh-huh.
And you,
and
men of science, and I love science,
uh-huh.
take just as much on faith or more than Christians do.
Yes, there is a level of faith that you start with in atheism and you can't get beyond. There is that junior high dope smoking idea that we could be just brains in a jar, the matrix stuff, that we're just being fed this information and nothing outside of ourselves is real. We do get all our information from our senses, and those senses could be distorted, and it's very, very possible that we are what we see as reality does not exist at all. So you
see,
have
a lot
to
about
make
what I'm talking about.
You have to make that leap of faith. Oh, you're talking about something different.
I don't know if you have read any of Stephen Hawking's books.
Yeah, I read
Universe
Brief History.
In a Nutshell, Theory of Everything.
Yeah, well, that's I haven't read Theory of Everything yet.
Okay, well, that's a good.
But thing. I have it. Does owning it count?
Only if it sinks in by osmosis.
But, so, you know, talk to me.
Atheists take, or science people take, so much on faith, like...
Well, you've just been saying so much. Give us a few examples so I know what level you're at. I was at one level. I guessed and I was wrong. So stop me from guessing. Tell me.
Okay. Look at it this way. There's, on theories about time, mm-hmm. there's real time, and when that doesn't work for their equations, they go into imaginary time and space-time. Mm-hmm.
Right, but what you're trying to do is to make a consistent theory that holds up with things that are tested against it.
Right,
and that's what you're trying to do.
And the things we
have
proof
no atheist. What's your
Newtonian laws of gravity and so forth?
Right,
also,
the Newtonian laws
on a mechanic level.
Right, all the Newtonian laws work, but only on the macro level that we're aware of. At the
right.
subatomic
some
level,
of the equations
things get a little dim.
Scientists come up with. They don't work, so they say, oh, well, gee, there must be 7 more dimensions.
And that
our
is exactly...
Our 3 dimensions are so broad and flat that we can measure them.
That is precisely my point.
But
point is...
there's 7 more dimensions that are so tightly ruled up
Right, but I'm using a different thing on this, which is that when something doesn't work, they move on and try something else. And let's take for granted that everything they've come up with in quantum physics, everything they've come up with in multidimensional ideas and space-time and so on, even if those are all wrong, the magic words you said, the words that give me hope, the words that really do anchor me, are the fact that when they don't work, they try something else.
True.
That is not done in religion. There's your difference right there.
Well,
when it doesn't work in religion, they don't try anything else. They just insist on that being true based on authority.
Right.
When things don't work in science, they change it.
And the group of scientists say this is right.
No, the scientists never say this is right.
Well,
I would defy you to find anywhere in Einstein's writing or in Hawking's writing or in Feynman's writing somebody saying this is right, this is the way it is.
Maybe
this is right.
Says this is the most reasonable theory at the time.
So far, that's all we got. And you know, that's my favorite thing about there was a book that came out that was going to come out that they asked Einstein about, where they said we're coming out with a book that's called 100 Scientists Prove Einstein Wrong.
Yeah, and
Einstein
said,
turned.
Well, if I was wrong, they'd only need one.
Right, exactly. So my point is that the fact that atheists don't know anything. And the fact that they know they don't know anything, the fact that that Hawking made bets with people that his theory on black holes was wrong, that was a real possibility. You don't ever see the Pope coming out and going, you know, I'm betting $50 the whole virgin birth thing is jive. That's precisely what you get out of scientists. Scientists do that. It is part of the cool of science that many strong theoretical scientists will bet against themselves as part of showing the glory and of being wrong. And there's a wonderful story that Richard Dawkins tells about his professor at Oxford who had this pet theory that he worked on for 40 years that had to do with fossils and evolutionary science, and they had a speaker come over from the U.S. who gave a speech that absolutely disproved this man's theory that he'd been working on his entire adult life, disproved his theory, and he went up and he stuck his hand out and he said, thank you so much for proving me wrong. Show me a high up in the Muslim religion, show me a rabbi, show me a priest that says thank you for proving me wrong on an idea that is essential, basic,
you know,
bottom line to their faith.
As a Christian, I love science. I think science and religion is not mutually exclusive.
Are not, but yes.
DNA technologists and scientists have proved that there is an Eve. You know, that all female DNA.
There's a mitochondrial Eve 250,000 years ago, but the Bible also says the Earth is
sort of a earlier primate rather than a human being. I don't know.
Right, but what you're doing here is you're taking just the word Eve. You're taking the fact that these scientists, with a wink and with a giggle, took a bit of mythology and named it. It's kind of like saying they've proven there's a god of war
because we have
a planet called Mars.
I say it's Eve. They say all female DNA can be traced back to one woman.
Well, they also say the world is flat. And they also say the world is 6,000 years old. So,
what are you picking and choosing out of the Bible? I mean, certainly,
I hate organized religion.
Organized religion
is full of the worst hypocrites in the world.
Okay, but I don't care at all about hypocrisy. I care about right and wrong. Hypocrisy means that probably the person is at least right half the time. You know, hypocrisy is fine with me. It's right and wrong. Now, you say you're a scientist. The physicist just came out with this. You must have read this about the Big Bang, that they've got all this information about the universe went from the size of a marble to all of observable space in the first trillionth of a second, and we are now 13.7 billion years old. 13.7 Sagan billion years old. How do you put that in with Christian faith that gives you maybe 6,000 years?
You know, that's like with much of science, it's an issue of faith. Most of my belief is an issue of faith. I believe that that.
So you're saying that it could be 6,000 years. It could be 13.7 billion. It's just whatever you happen to have faith in.
You know, that's like the old joke. You know, the guy talking to God and saying, "Oh, I understand that a minute is like a million years to you."
Uh-huh.
And God says, "Well, yes." And he says, "I understand that a penny is like $1 million to you."
Uh-huh.
And the Lord says, "Yes." And the guy thinks for a minute and he says, "Can I have a penny?" And God says,
"Give me a minute." Yeah, but you that joke, first of all, is tangential and has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Explain that to me. I mean, the problem is you called up and you said that both science and religion were based on faith. You then gave examples of scientists changing their mind when presented with different facts, with it being malleable and growing with the facts. And then you gave examples of Christianity and religion being absolutely etched in stone.
Look at Judaism.
Okay.
Okay, they were a very, very strict faith for many thousands.
But you're not talking about changing the tenets. You're talking about, there's Orthodox and Reform. That's not changing the basic ideas. That's not growing with information that comes in. That is social pressures that are doing that. You're putting social pressures in the same category as information. Scientists, the difference between scientists, atheists, and on the other side, religion, is that scientists know they don't know, and religious people are so frightened of the unknown, they will believe anything that's either shoved down their throat or they make up in some acid-induced stupor. Or they'll use jokes about pennies and millions of dollars and just pretend they apply.
As you are at arguing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I believe in science and I believe in Christianity.
Well, you know, there's a great quote by, is it Philip K. Dick that says, "Reality is what remains when you cease believing"?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's not the right quote. We've already got like 100 Gmails coming in telling me the right one. But I think it's Philip K. Dick, and it's a wonderful quote. Anything that you're believing that requires your faith to be so, I would question very heavily, you know. And I love the fact that you're well-versed in science and have read this stuff, but I think that you're taking the word faith and you're making it mean two different things. But thanks so much for calling in. I'm only cutting you off, bro, because we're coming down toward the end. It's not out of disrespect. Okay? So thanks a lot for calling, boss.
He's gone.
Well, he was cut off even quicker than I wanted him to. Did you find the exact quote?
No, not yet.
Okay, someone will write it in right away.
Gmail's moving slow this morning.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. So, John Lennon, deliver, de-letter, de-sooner, de-better. Let's wrap it all up. The FCC Oprah thing. I'm going to be done with the FCC, you know, because I think I like talking to guys. Was his name John that just called him? I like talking to guys like John because at least you see a different point of view when you do this. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have one listener that thinks that the FCC decided that what Oprah did was different than what, you know, Without a Trace did. I don't think anybody believes that. I don't think there's anybody really listening to us that's a Scientology member. Tom Cruise doesn't have this on in his gym, you know? He's not listening to it. So I just want to say I want to be done. The rest of the week, we're kind of done with the FCC, unless, you know, somebody really
something
cute
calls.
Something else will happen. I want to be kind of done with Scientology. We'll keep moving on with our stuff. But please, this is now almost a contest. If you live in Vegas and you want $10 for me to watch the Lennon thing, take notes, and come here and report on it. I will give you that. We'll give you donuts. I'll throw in something else. I'll throw in tickets to the Big Penn and Teller show. So write a good essay on why you're the one to report on John Lennon coming back from the dead.
They're showing up already.
Oh, good, good. We'll pick a good one. This is Penn Jillette. I love you all. I'm speaking for Michael Godot. He loves you all, too.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.